Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Bloomfield Township and earned a bachelor's degree from Michigan State University. Since 2002, he's been the president and CEO of Redico, which is a diversified, dynamic national real estate development, construction, and property management company. Since 2008, he's been the president and CEO of American House Senior Living Communities, whose mission is to provide high-quality housing for seniors in all levels of care, including independent living, assisted living, and memory care. His name, Dale Wachowski. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Dale Wachowski. Since 2002, he's been the president and CEO of Redico. Dale, welcome on our day.
Wonderful to be here, Jack. It's great to be sitting alongside you, and it's wonderful to be having a conversation with you once again.
Thank you. Let's go back. Your childhood, your mom and your dad. Your mom was one of 18. Talk about childhood and mom and dad.
Well, my childhood was absolutely amazing. My mother, while she had 17 brothers and sisters, she was a farm girl from the Thumb area of Michigan, and as it turned out, she couldn't have children, so she adopted me, and I always felt blessed for that. Mm-hmm. But that said, my dad was an urban planner, and so he moved to the city, as they called it, and then we went on to live in various places throughout Southeast Michigan, and loved it. And my parents were hard workers, both of them, and I enjoyed being part of that family. So they instilled in me some great values, and I really attribute it to a large degree to my mother's upbringing on the farm and my dad's humble upbringing as a son of a carpenter.
All right, I quote you now. I knew what I wanted to do in life when I was 5 years old.
Yeah, I actually did. I was blessed in that regard. And oftentimes, when I'm interviewing young people, I ask them, you know, why real estate or why construction or why leasing? And oftentimes they don't really have a good answer for that. And it's interesting how people come into the careers that they ultimately land in. For me, I was blessed and always knew exactly, you know, where I would be. And I never wavered. And really, it emanates from my father. My father was an urban planner. So from a very early age, he would put me in a car, and we enjoyed spending time together. And we'd drive around, and we'd look at properties. I was fascinated by it. And then my father had some duplexes. And when I got older, he took me to work with him. You know, every time he had to turn a unit over, and I learned how to maintain a property. I learned how to lease a property, and I just became passionate about the business. And so my career really did begin at a very early age, oddly enough.
I believe in high school you worked as a surveyor, and then after graduating, you were a land surveyor for the Oakland County Road Commission early on.
That's correct. It was interesting. I started taking courses in high school, and actually I took appraisal courses, and knowing what I wanted to do, it was very fortunate for me, knowing and understanding what I want to do, because I was able to shape my career path. And so my thought was, and with regards to surveying, my thought was, you know, if I wanted to be in real estate, start with the ground up and learn something about how to understand and evaluate land. And so I was fortunate enough to have taken some survey classes and understood the process. And I applied with the Oakland County Road Commission for a summer job. And they put me on a field crew, and it accomplished everything that I wanted it to, really. And I actually stayed with the Oakland County Road Commission throughout that summer. But the next summer, and this was my second summer in vacation in college, I actually went to work for the Oakland County Equalization Department appraising real estate for taxation purposes. So that was a real early start to my career, and I think got me my first interview with a real company once I graduated.
Speaking of which, I believe you then went to work for Travelers, Citicorp, J.P. Morgan Chase, etc.
I did. I pursued an institutional path and enjoyed very much the public route. Enjoyed working for Oakland County. I then went to work for the City of Birmingham in a planning position, and also in a working for the appraisal function, really as an intern. And so gained some additional experience, but coming out of school in 81, it was a tough time, and interest rates were very high, and that was really the first what I would call recession or real estate recession that I had seen. But my dad said to me, he said, you know, you're probably best not to go the public route, but he said, get with a large company. The insurance companies at the time were doing the big deals. Today, we're raising capital through private equity, through hedge funds, through public real estate companies, through insurance companies. But back then, the big deals were done by the insurance companies. And he suggested I pursue that path. And so I joined the Travelers Citigroup and in their real estate investment department. And I'll tell you, I think that really at that time, they were hiring only Ivy League MBAs. And it was that experience that I gained through land surveying, through appraising, through working as an intern in planning departments that actually enabled me to land that job. And I had one guy in particular that took a chance on me, and it was wonderful. And so I ended up in their management training program, and I did everything from capital markets to development to acquisitions, and absolutely loved it, and spent 8 years there. And then went on and further expanded my presence in the business in capital markets positions.
We're talking to Dale Wachowski. When we come back, we're going to ask him how he and Redico ever came together. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula. We're with Dale Wachowski. Dale, Redico, Real Estate Development Investment Company. What does it do, and how did you come to be with it?
Well, I didn't name Redico. Redico is a well over 50 years old business. It was founded by a gentleman by the name of Bob Sosnick. And Bob and I really, really never knew each other, but he built a wonderful company and a great platform for me to grow from. And so I spent the first half of my career with large companies doing exactly what I do today, investing in real estate. And I moved over to, as I call it, the dark side, which is investing for my own portfolio. And I joined a gentleman named Michael Kajoyan. And I spent 5 years with Michael with Michael and his mentorship and in his excellent ability to shape a deal taught me how to invest as an entrepreneur. And so in that 5 years, we grew a portfolio throughout the U.S., and I can speak to that, but essentially my objective was to grow a diversified portfolio of properties that were both diverse by asset class and diverse by geography. And then a gentleman by the name of Ira Jaffe tapped me on the shoulder and suggested that I might be interested in joining Redico. And it was unfortunately for the simple reason that that our founder had passed away, and they needed a leader. And so I didn't know Ira, really. I knew of him, and I had spoken to him before, but I can't say I knew him well. Ira introduced me to Karen Sosnick Schoenberg, and Karen's my partner today, and Karen's father was the founder of Redico, and Karen really became the fiduciary for Redico, and interviewed me, and we liked each other, and I think we came together on the right terms, actually, and so they asked me to join the business, it's been. Actually, it'll be 22 years in April, so it's been a great run, and so Redico is. And you asked Jack what Redico does. It's a great acronym, and Bob named the company appropriately: Real Estate Development Investment Company. That's what we do. We develop and invest in real estate, but we do more. And we in addition to acquisitions and development or investment, if you will, we also run the real estate that we own and invest in. And so we're operators, we lease, we space plan, and we construct space.
Ira's been an angel for you, and Ira Jaffe's been an angel for me as well. He was a founding partner with Jaffe, Raitt, Heuer, and Weiss in 68, world-class business rainmaker, a leader on many corporate boards. Here's what Ira says about Dale Wachowski. Jack, the man works 26 hours a day. He's the most energetic and thorough person I know, and he's a shining example of combining intelligence and hard work. What's the biggest thing Ira Jaffe taught you?
Wow. First of all, I am tremendously humbled because there's nobody that I respect more than Ira Jaffe. He is a wonderful man and has been a wonderful mentor. And I would suggest to you that what he had to say about me is really a reflection of him and what he taught me. And so he didn't teach me the value of hard work. I think that my parents instilled that in me, but what he instilled in me was our core values that we still possess today. And that's respect, integrity, teamwork, and excellence. And really those values I've carried with me throughout my career at Redico, and they represent our core values today. And so what he also taught me was, really how to effectively take advantage of every situation that you might be in. Where we've done the best is in down markets or off markets. And what I came to discover is that that's really when, you have the opportunity to change the direction of your business and succeed. You can freeze, and you can try to sustain, or you can work and do your best to try to make a situation, a favorable situation out of a difficult one. And Ira taught me that.
Well, he taught you well. Let's go to 8 Mile in Woodward. You talk about a down market, depressed for decades. And now this gateway marketplace is unbelievable. Dale, what did you see that no one else saw?
Well, first of all, I'm not sure that initially I saw what you see today. But I was invited into this opportunity only because there was an investment made by the city. There were a group of developers that really were also interested in inviting us in for some of the work that we have done and the experience that we really possessed and could have brought to the table. But also, at that time, it was the mayor and it was the governor that really suggested that there was a sense of place that could be established with that at that intersection. And it's a reason for naming it Gateway, because it really is the gateway in the city of Detroit. But also, it was what we saw was a development that could serve, you know, really all of the markets, north, south, east, and west. And it did just that. And so what we saw was an opportunity to also bring to the city services that weren't currently in the city, and namely grocery. And so really Meyer, and it was specifically Hank Meyer that took a chance on that site. And with Meyer coming in, what that did for us was it enabled us to attract other users, and we call them shadow anchors. And what's interesting about that site is that it did exactly what it was intended to do. Meyer came in, they did extremely well. The other anchors that followed came in and did extremely well. And it's really one of our most successful developments.
Well, in 2018, we had a man, Mike Murray, on, who at the time was vice chairman of Meyer's. And he said that store at 8 Mile is one of the most successful, profitable in our entire portfolio. So it's been a win-win.
Wow. That's
Thank
good to
you.
Hear.
Thank you for all the people in the city, Dale, that never had a place to buy groceries, for the Ferndale people, et cetera, et cetera. Even some Birmingham people go down there. So we're talking to Dale Wachowski, and the man has the ability to see things that others don't in real estate. When we come back, we're going to talk about that development that was stymied for years on Telegraph Road just north of Square Lake. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Krasula. We're with Dale Wachowski. If you want to learn more, www.redico.com. All right. Another legendary politician came to you a number of years ago, L. Brooks Patterson. Dale, I need your help.
One wonderful man. It was regarding a site that had sat fallow for over 10 years, a project that was really ill-conceived from inception. And it was about a $500 million-plus development that was begun but never finished. And so if anybody had passed by this site on Telegraph Road north of Square Lake, they would have seen what Brooks used to refer to as Stonehenge. And so high-rise buildings, parking decks that were up but not completed. And so Brooks wanted to see something happening there. And he had some thoughts around the site and what it could be. And we had some thoughts around the site and what it could be. So he introduced the opportunity to us initially. We, of course, had to identify capital that might be interested in funding a very large development. Brooks was extremely pleased with the outcome, and we were as well, because it became one of our more successful developments.
Dale, you can identify the future. Okay? In the sports world, can you pick the ponies and can you pick football games as well as you can pick these potential land deals?
Jack, you are being far too kind. and I won't even start to answer that question, because I'm a total loser when it comes to picking sports teams. So thank you for that, though.
All right. Okay, in 2008, you become the president and CEO of American House. What is American House, and how did that come to be?
Oh, that's actually a very interesting question, and I really spoke to earlier about taking advantage of opportunities, and as I always say, never waste a good crisis. We get together as a team, and by the way, I attribute all the credit you know, to anything that we may have done at Redico, to the team that I have, because they're fantastic. And they've been with me almost from inception, many of them from before I came on board at Redico. But that said, had a wonderful team. And so every year I sit down with my executive team and we put together a three-year business plan. And it was about 2006, 2007, and continued on into 2007, we identified or we recognized that there was going to be a relatively significant, a significant turndown in the real estate market. And it turned out to be much worse than we ever anticipated in 2006, 2007. And so so with that, what our thought was is that the office market would take a big hit. The retail market would take a big hit. The build-to-suits that we had historically been doing for corporate clients would probably cease to exist in their current format. And so our thought was we had to find something else to do as developers and investors in real estate. And so we started looking for what I would term recession, looking at what I would term recession-proof businesses. We looked at storage. We looked at multifamily. We looked at senior living. We were in the healthcare business, and we were doing, at that time, medical. And what emerged was the interest in investing in a healthcare platform that would serve seniors, because what we saw was this graying tsunami. The demographics were compelling, you know, with this aging population. And so we came to the conclusion that we wanted to get in the senior living business. And so the senior living business, while it's a real estate business, it's more of an operating business, if you will, or a healthcare business. And so our thought was we could stand up a platform and grow a business organically, as we had with retail when I first came into Redico and diversified our business out of office. And that worked well. But because of the operational expertise that was required, we thought it'd be best to buy a company. And so we went out and started looking for a company that had the characteristics of a business that we'd want to own. And then because of the institutional background that I brought to the table, my thought was, let's try to add some institutional character to a mom-and-pop business. And I mean mom-and-pop in the dearest of terms, because really it's that mom-and-pop character of the senior housing business that enabled us to serve our seniors well. So that said, we found American House. We acquired American House, and that was in 2008. And really what it led us to was investment opportunities through acquisitions and development opportunities. And so we grew the business into what you're seeing today. We also changed the acuity level of the residents that we're serving, primarily because we saw those residents aging in place, and we saw the opportunity to serve residents as they became more acute. So we started with independent living at American House, went into assisted living, and then we went into memory care. And so today we're one of the largest senior housing companies in the country as both an investor and an operator.
How many homes? How many states? How many employees?
We invest into what I call adjacent markets. So we started in Michigan, Southeast Michigan. We expanded throughout Michigan. We expanded into the Midwest, went into New England, went into Florida, South Florida, and continued to move north into Tennessee and now South Carolina. And so the markets that we identify would be the Midwest, New England, and in the Southeast, and then we'll fill in that Eastern Seaboard with communities. So we're moving slowly into adjacent markets. We have, I think we were upwards of over 70 communities. I think today about 60 communities, and those are communities that most of which we acquired and or developed.
We're talking to Dale Wachowski. If you want to learn more, www.americanhouse.com. When we come back, we're going to go back to March 2020. Being in the senior living space when COVID hits. And I'm Jack Rasula. And this is Anything is Possible on 760 WJR.
Jack Krasula, host of WJR's Anything Is Possible, the weekly radio visit, brings his 15 years of inspirational storytelling to hardcover. With God, anything is possible.
Anything is possible.
15 of Jack's more than 750 tales of defeating odds and achieving the extraordinary. Like Bob Woodruff, whose job covering the war in Iraq nearly cost him his life. And Nick Vujicic, the limbless evangelist who has stunned millions with his message of acceptance and grace. With God, anything is possible. Order now while signed copies are still available at trustinusllc.square.site. That's trustinusllc.square.site. And as Jack says,
make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohol.
Anything is possible.
I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything is Possible. We're talking to Dale Wachowski. If you want to learn more, www.americanhouse.com. Dale, let's go back early March 2020 and this thing called COVID hits. What was that like?
Well, it's hard to describe. If you talk to anybody that's in healthcare, and I did mention earlier that we're at the end of the day a healthcare business, they would probably express the same sentiment. It was a difficult time. We went into COVID. We had to first of all we had to maintain our communities. And so we needed to be in the properties, but you couldn't really at that time. We didn't know to what extent this terrible pandemic was going to plague our properties and our people. And so it was hard to access the communities. We certainly couldn't lease the communities. We had to keep our residents safe throughout. And we had to not only care for them, but we had to feed them, and we had to entertain them. And so if you can imagine living in a community where you weren't really permitted to leave your unit, you weren't permitted really any type of human interaction, when our maintenance teams or culinary teams came into the properties, they were masked and gowned at the time initially, and so your family members couldn't even get into the community. And so we all heard about it, and we seem to have forgotten about it actually today. But maybe it's a good thing, because it was a terrible time. And I reflect on times when we had entertainers coming in and entertaining, you know, from courtyards, and the residents were looking out their window. We had family members that were speaking to their loved ones through the window, or holding up signs or waving to their loved ones through the window. This was an awful time, Jack, and it was an awful time for our business too. And because what happened is, you really, you know, not to speak to financial situation that was difficult, because you had no revenue source really. I mean, your residents, you weren't able to bring new residents into the community. And over time, we thought of ways, and we figured out how to best do that. And we did it through technology, really. And then we were able to move a few residents in. But who would want to go into a community where you knew that you wouldn't be able to see your loved ones? You would be locked in a room, and you'd be served meals in to-go containers, with no human interaction whatsoever. So my heart went out to all of our residents, and it was very, very, very difficult as an operator. I can't tell you how difficult it was.
We're talking to Dale Wachowski. Dale, let's talk about modern-day angels. The job that your nurses, your therapist, et cetera, did in those communities, what they did back then, and what they do every day, Dale. It's a ministry. It's a vocation.
You have to have a passion for it, and if you don't, you shouldn't be in the business. It's we had some wonderful people. We have some wonderful people, and they served our residents so well, with compassion, with grace, and it really did enable us to get through this. and very quickly recover from, you know, what I would call one of the worst times in the history of our industry. And so we do have angels working for us, and you have to have a calling to be in that space.
And patience. Great.
Oh, and patience is right.
So, all right. 35 years ago, the typical nursing home had residents in their 50s, 60s, and maybe a few in their 70s. Today, you go in these places, vibrant people, 80s and 90s.
Yeah, absolutely. And the industry is changing to a great degree. And what's interesting is that when we bought American House, the average age of our resident was 76. If you were to look at the average age today, we're somewhere around 84, 85, potentially even older. And so there's a reason for that, and one is that is probably the cost of senior living. And when you think about the cost of care today, it would suggest to you that as you age, you have to think about what you can spend on senior living, and the cost has gone up.
We're talking to Dale Wachowski. If you want to learn more, www.americanhouse.com. Dale, I quote you now. I often referred to it as my calling, and it was an unexpected calling about getting into American House back in 2008. I've changed a great deal since then, and I have found my heart in a way that I never expected.
You know, it's a difficult one, and I did. When I first came into American House, and I bought the company, I never expected to be running the company for any length of time. I expected to come in as a CEO, stand up the business, build a good team, and I fell in love with the business. I fell in love with my residents. I fell in love with those compassionate caregivers that are in our communities. And it's not just caregivers. It's anyone that works in these communities. They also have a calling, and they've got a heart. And what I did is I fell in love with the people that are in this business. And so what I really feel like is that initially I saw it as a business, and today it almost feels like a philanthropic endeavor. Because if you really do it well, and if you really care, what you're doing is you're giving back. And that sounds corny, but it's true. And it's the reason why, to this day, 15 years later, I'm still carrying the CEO title. Because I feel so committed to the business. I feel so committed to my residents, and I feel so committed to my team members.
All right. Let's talk about the aging of the baby boomers. I quote you again. Between now and 2030, a total of 10,000 baby boomers will turn 65 every day.
Yeah, it's that graying tsunami that everyone is talking about, and we're going to have to figure out a way in which to manage through this. And there is anybody can get care, all right? There's an alternative, and the alternative is you can live in your home. You can bring in home health care, or you can live in a senior community. We'd like to believe, or I do believe, because I've put my heart, my soul, and my money into it, that a level of socialization is required, you know, to live a good life. And so I think about a gentleman that I befriended actually when I was a teenager, and it was unfortunate because he died a very lonely man. And I think about, you know, what we could have done to serve him as he continued to age, because he was by himself. And this level of socialization, I think, leads to a better health. It leads to happiness, which, you know, really leads to better health. It's important to all of us. And it's great to see that happening within our communities. But it is going to continue to plague us, given that the leading edge boomers now are actually starting to move into our communities, and they're moving at an older age, which is what I had indicated earlier.
We're talking to Dale Wachowski. His family of companies is actually four companies. We've talked about Redical, American House. Number three, Continuum Services.
Yeah, it's interesting, Jack. What I did when I came into Redico is I was looking at a better way to maintain and serve our properties and our communities. And so what I came to discover is that we were actually hiring out many of the services that that our buildings required, you know, for a regular level of maintenance. And what I came to quickly discover is that many of the trades that we were hiring to manage our buildings or maintain our buildings were hiring that out maybe two and three times. And I thought there'd be a better opportunity to enhance the level of service to our buildings and our communities. And so we formed a company called Redico Facility Services. We did an amazing job, I think, of managing our buildings, managing the infrastructure, managing the capital budget, managing through preventive maintenance. And what we came to discover, our industry colleagues also discovered that. And some of our competitors came to us at the time and they said, wow, your buildings are maintained well. Your engineers are doing an amazing job. Your equipment looks good. What are you doing? And I said, well, you know, we formed our own facility services company, Redico Facility Services. The response back was, well, if you changed the name and didn't have a Redico truck in my parking lot, I might hire you. And that's exactly what we did. And so we came up with a new name. We actually built a business around it. We're about 20%, 22% Redico content today. The rest third party, and we've stood up a really nice business in Continuum. And we do exterior services, we do facility maintenance, we do facility management, and the business is doing very well right now, and it's a national business.
And one of the buildings that you maintain is the Golden Tower of the Fisher Building.
We absolutely do.
That we're in today, so... Dale, as Ira says, you're a shining example of intelligence and hard work, and I would add, a servant's heart. Keep up the great, great work.
Thank you, Jack. This is a pleasure.
Please join us next week. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening. Make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spoken.
Believe in yourself.